So as we've been journeying through the Psalms in our series, Raw, the Language of the Psalms, we have been taking sort of representative samples of different styles or subgenres of Psalms, right? And we've seen a variety of different kind of quick phrases that help us connect with the Lord in the Psalms. And as we approach Psalm 119 today, we're going to see that Psalm 119 is an illumination psalm. It's really a psalm that you could actually, it's so long, you could classify it as several different things. But the thing that comes over and over again is a prayer of illumination, a prayer that says, Lord, I'm listening. Help me. Help me, Lord, I'm listening. The word law, which is paramount in the Psalms, is used 25 times. There are 8 words that are synonyms together that we see throughout the Psalms, right? The word law used 25 times. The word is used 24 times, along with decision or judgment used 23 times. Command 22, statute and precept 21 times. The word saying or oracle or promise, all very tightly woven together, used 19 times, and they all occur in 4 stanzas. All of those words are in 4 stanzas or verses, if you will, or sections that we see throughout the Psalms, and many of them are used in each and every section. Many of those synonyms are used. You know, this is a psalm, an alphabetic psalm, or a psalm where an acrostic, where the psalmist, you'll see it in your section headers, Aleph and Beit. It looks like Beth here, Gimel and Dalet. This is the Hebrew alphabet. And what we miss in the English language, actually, is that as the psalmist writes, like looking at that very first section, Aleph, every verse of those 8 verses, and there are 8, in all 22 sections. And every verse begins with that Greek letter. When you get to Beit, all 8 verses begin with Beit. It's just because of the translation, it doesn't work in English. But it's a remarkable rhetorical device that the psalmist takes full advantage of. He arranges it in a way to sort of really get to the point of saying, God's word is totally complete and full. God's word, as it's revealed to them in that time, right? We know that the more was added to the Lord's word as he worked through history, right? The canon of the word of God wasn't closed. It is closed now, but it wasn't at that point. And so, but what he was referring to is the Torah or the Deuteronomic section of the Bible, if you will, the first 5 books of the Bible, saying all of your law revealed in here is good. It's full. It's perfect. It's complete. It's everything that we need to live. Hebrews 1:1-2 gives us a kind of a New Testament understanding of what that looks like, because in the Old Testament revelation, it was through prophets. And so it says long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, meaning since the time of Jesus, anytime you see that phrase, in these last days, it means since the time of Jesus, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he also created the world. One of the ways to grow in wisdom in life, you know, you might say, you know, I'm not a great reader. You might say, I'm not a good study, but is to watch people's lives. And that's what we get an opportunity to do here. We get an opportunity to watch the life of the psalmist as we look at the Psalms, as we listen to what he says here. It is not so much the psalmist telling me, telling you how much you should love God and read God's word. Well, that's not to say that you shouldn't, but it's the psalmist telling all of us how much he has come to love God's word. There's a difference when you talk to a Christian who knows they're supposed to read the Bible versus when you talk to one who professes Jesus who loves reading the Bible. It's night and day difference. Somebody who loves reading the Bible knows God's word. Now, we're all gifted with different levels of memory and knowledge and all that. That's all well and fine. There are no stars given out here. But somebody who gives lip service is different than somebody who says, oh, I love the Bible. Oh, I love reading the Bible. And so we learn a lot. This morning, our passage is, Lord, set me free to run in your word. Set me free to run in your word. I told you I'm going to be flying today, so hang on to your seats and follow along here. The wholehearted follower of God is happy. Now, some of us don't like the word happy. Happiness is based on happenings. Okay, that's all well and fine. Blessed, happy in Jesus. Blessed is the man, he says, blessed are those whose way is blameless. Do you remember that from Psalm 1? Who walk in the law of the Lord. It doesn't say who know the law of the Lord. Blessed are the ones whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek them with their whole heart. There's no rote devotion. There's no checking off boxes. This is, Lord, I want to go after you with all I've got. Who also do no wrong but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts, see that word, to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, laws, precepts, statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart while I learn of your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Do you see what he's saying there, Lord? I mean, church. he's saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to praise you uprightly in every way, but I got to know your law. I got to know your law. Our vision statement as a church is to reach, teach, and live out what it means to be wholehearted followers of Christ. Throughout this psalm, you see this expression, wholeheartedly, with my whole heart. The heart refers to your internal being. In Hebrew, it kind of be like your throat, kind of the innermost part of you. And it's saying, with everything that I am, from the center working out, I want to praise you. Seeking the Lord always means to seek him through his word. And his word was the Torah. And now it is the word of God that we hold in the 66 books of the Bible here, and that we see revealed through the person and work of Jesus Christ, right? John 1:1 tells us, right? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He was and continues to be. And then verse 14 of John 1, the word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If we are to be eternally happy, it is only possible as we meet God in his word and we guard our steps according to his word. Does that mean if you have room to grow in getting in the word that you're not a follower of Christ? No. No, we'll see that when we get to the end of this psalm here. Look at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We love this verse for children. Do we love it as adults? Do we love to memorize God's word? I can't memorize very much. Well, you could probably memorize a little. And I promise you, if you memorize a little of God's word, you'll want to memorize a little bit more. And then a little bit more. And you may memorize an entire book and shock yourself. Entire books of the Bible that are only one page long. The goal is not if you memorize a book. The goal is, Lord, I want to retain your word. I want to know you better. So I'm going to hide your word in my heart. I will meditate, verse 15, on your precepts, and I will fix my eyes on your ways. I delight. I'm happy. I am satisfied in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. This psalmist, this young man, is the one who writes this, and he wants to be ever satisfied with Jesus. And when we store his word in our hearts, we are happy in Jesus when we store his word in our hearts, and that enables us to have our hearts set free so that we can run in God's truth. One commentator says, this is a psalm not only of law, but also of love. Not only of statute, but also spiritual strength. Not only devotion to precept, but also of loyalty to the way of the Lord. The beauty in this psalm resounds from the relationship of the psalmist and his God. And this is why with the psalmist, you and I've said this before. There are times I wish I could preach a sermon or invite several of you up here to come and preach it, and I'll sit right down there and I'll listen to it because I need this as much as anybody. But this is why we would do well to passionately ask the Lord to open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of God's law. Yeah, you ever felt like you read the Bible and it takes a little bit to kind of get into the mood of Christian reading is. But I do get it. I sit down, you feel like, you know, you're doing the discipline of personal worship, but it's not worship yet. You're doing the discipline of getting in the Word, but you're not finding anything that's kind of gripping your heart. You're not feeling the emotion of it. You know, often faithfulness comes first. It's the leading step. And then the feelings, as though we're even supposed to be after the feelings. Because really, that's just a misnomer of our culture, if I can just be honest with you. But that's for another day. The feelings will follow. The joy, here we are, the joy of walking in faithfulness will follow and fill you as you follow the Lord, right? And so he's saying, Lord, open my eyes to behold wonderful things. Translation, there are wonderful things in your word. I just can't see them all the time. And so we need to ask God for help. This is, think of Balaam's eyes being opened, right? We see that in Numbers. All of a sudden, he saw an angel standing in front of him. He couldn't see the angel, and all of a sudden, he saw the angel standing there with a sword. Well, that'll wake you up, right? The New Testament speaks of this concept in 2 Corinthians 3. I don't have time to read it, but if you're taking notes and you want to jot this down, 2 Corinthians 3, 14 to 18, as Paul looks back and he's talking about Old Testament saints and he's talking about the message being brought from one people group to another, and then the veil was removed. Think of a bride. Remember brides? There was a day brides wore veils and then the veil would be pulled back and they could see. And that's the idea that we have here. I tell you, sometimes we try to do this as a family. It's not like some fancy prayer. We just simply try to kind of direct our hearts, get a posture when we read the Bible that says, Lord, help me see you as I read scripture. And it's really, really important to do that because we need God's help. That's why it's a psalm of illumination. We need God to illuminate, shine the light on our heart or in our minds to understand his word. And so sometimes we'll start into reading together as a family and we'll get into it and I'll go, oh, whoa, hold up. It's sort of like this, Dad. It's like we have to stop and we have to ask the Lord to help us understand his word. Yeah, but we've already started. Yeah, I know, but trust me. We need this. So let's just real fast. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read your word today, would you help us understand who you are and help us see how Jesus is connected in everything that we read so that we can follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, now go. And they roll their eyes. You know, they don't roll their eyes. It's because I missed it at the beginning. It was a leadership error. Anyway. And this is where we get the sermon title from, verses 25 through 32. Set my heart free to run in your word. Now everybody look up here for a second. Set my heart free. Say that. Set my heart free. Again, set my heart free to run in your word. Set my heart free to walk along a wide path. Well, wait, I thought it was only a narrow gate. It is only narrow, but to the believer, it's wide because we're free from error as we walk. The Lord sets us down in the presence of our enemies, Psalm 23 says, in green pastures. Enemies all around, and he sets us down and says, eat your fill, you're protected. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When sin clings closely to you, and brother, sister, sin likes to cling. I don't know if I should go here or not, but you ever been in a clingy relationship? Insert awkward laugh here. If not, maybe you're the clingy one. I don't know. But you know, sin clings. It's like, you ever put on a shirt where you pull it out of the dryer? Okay, I was just going to tell you, we probably waste money on dryer sheets, because I feel like if we put one of them in, right, it just doesn't really do the trick. So I'm like, you know, I got the box open and I got the dryer going, you know, and or it's not going yet, but it's in there. And I'm just taking dryer sheets and I'm like, you're not going to cling on me this time. We're going to make sure it's all whatever the word is that I can't find right now. But, you know, the point is, it's terrible. Things cling to us. You know, sometimes we cling to sin. We love our sin. No, Pastor Matt, well, then why are you doing it? Paul says, why am I doing the things I don't want to do? I'm not doing the things I know I ought to do. It's a law at work within us. I got to tell you, just a little personal testimony. I had a brother this week and a sister this week have conversations with me that were kind of uncomfortable. People who love me, people who want the very best for me, on two topics. You know, there's a tendency when somebody confronts you, and we don't like the word confrontation, but just let's just use it, because it's just an uncomfortable thing that happens at times, right? Somebody comes, they say, I need to talk to you about something. All of a sudden, oh, your heart starts to pound faster, right? Like, for me, the worst, like, hey, I got to talk to you about something, but can we do it in like 3 weeks? I'm like, no, we can't. Are you telling me you got to come at me with something in 3 weeks? No. Let's, right? I mean, it's because I'm trusting myself and the fear of man, and we could go on and on and on, because sin clings closely to us. But you know what? We get defensive. We've got all kinds of opportunities there. But you know what? When we recognize what Proverbs says, that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wounds. Not like faithful are the happy thoughts of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of someone who comes to you to say something that you don't want to hear, but they love you enough to say it. We get defensive. We get, right? I wrestled with all those things this week. By God's grace, he turned my heart. I guess we'll find out, proof's in the pudding, right? How things go in the future. But the point is that in order to be set free to run in God's word, we've got to dig deeply into the word of God. We've got to hear what the word of God has to say. We've got to receive it, and we've got to put it into practice. You want to hear from God? You want the blessing of the Lord? There's a commitment that comes with it. You see the passage that he's wanting to say. Look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. I got to find verse 32 in my Bible here. Yeah. Do I have this whole passage section to read? No, I don't. So he says, essentially, he's saying, Lord, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told you of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your laws. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on all your works. You're going to find this pattern. I wish I could just show you a list of all of them. He's going to say, teach me your word, and I will follow you. Heal me, and I will tell people of your great love. Deliver me from death, and I will preach to the world about what a great God you are. Heal me. Incline my heart to yours. Open my eyes to see your faithfulness, and I will walk in it. In fact, the motivation is often not just to stay alive. The motivation is, Lord, running for my life is distracting me from your will. Now, that's a human understanding, because clearly the Lord is going, this is my will for you, because you're here. But he's saying, I want to be free, so that I can be freer to tell others of who you are. And that's why he says in verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart, when you set me free, when you open my heart with understanding and a desire to do your will, Lord, I am going to run headlong after your glory. You know, what would you do if you were given the opportunity to have anything you wanted in the world? What would it be? Money? Fame, a job, just job security, health. The Lord asked Solomon all of these things. Well, not all of these things, but he said, what's one thing you want? Paraphrase, Solomon said, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. That means seek after the Lord with your whole heart. You don't have to worry about anything else. because the Lord is faithful. The Lord will take care of you. So to run in God's word means to trust God and run in faith. Run with carries this idea of speedy obedience. It's not just, Lord, enlarge my heart and I will walk. Lackadaisical walk in your word. I mean, we talk about the walk of faith, and that's fine. I'm not getting too hung up on the word, but we want to have a quick desire for obedience as we seek the Lord. So toward the middle of the psalm, there's this lament. We've talked about lament, and so we're not going to recover this ground, but in this lament, he shows this idea to live for the purpose of honoring and keeping God's rules. I've already touched on that, but I want you to hear it in verses 87 and 88. He says, "They've almost made an end of me on the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Lord, I don't know how I'm doing it, but by your grace, I'm hanging in. In your steadfast love, give me life." That's a purpose clause. In order that, or so that, I can keep the testimonies of your mouth. We see this theme of I'm living in darkness. I'm being affected by the darkness around me, but your word brings light. Psalm verse 105. I'm going to keep saying the verses as chapters, but in verses 145 to 152, we see that when difficulties loom large, we need to hear this, especially now in our nation. Or maybe just especially now in your life, when difficulties loom large, faith sees that God is near too, and he is greater than the challenge. God doesn't promise to deliver us from every challenge. What he promises us is that his presence in our lives is the greater reality. His presence with you through the fire is the only thing you need to be sustained. And that leads many of us to this reality. You ready? How did he do it? I mean, how did he live so faithfully? How did he live so perfectly? You know the answer is? He didn't. He didn't. All throughout the psalm, he's saying, I'm going to do this faithfully. I'm going to keep on keeping on. What doesn't mean he does it perfectly? What it means is he set his posture to go hard after God, to run after the Lord as the Lord keeps pouring in rules and laws, teaching him how to live. He says, Lord, I'm going to go hard after you. But listen to the end. Jesus says in Matthew 5, when he opens up the Sermon on the Mount, he's blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, a poor person who's poor in spirit means they get that they don't get it all. They understand that they're seeking the Lord, but they don't do it right every time. And they're not trusting in the fact that they do it right all the time. They're trusting in the blood of Jesus, who frees us to pursue him with all we have. Verse 169, the very last section. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea, you see, it's the end of the psalm. He's still saying, give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you, delivering me according to your word. My lips will pour forth praise, for you teach me your statutes. Friends, we are never intended to learn God's word to have a stopper at the end of the pipe. We are conduits, and God's grace flows in. We soak it in, we learn, and we pour it out to other people, whether through teaching or through living a life that seeks to glorify God. My tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. Well, what about, we don't do cut and paste Bibles. We do all of God's word, which is perfect and sufficient, without any error, and we understand it rightly. All your commandments are right. Let your hand be ready to help me. There he is again. Help me, Lord, for I've chosen your precepts. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Let my soul live and praise you, and let your rules help me. This is the very last verse. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. For I do not forget your commandments. I am striving after you, Lord. I am striving not to forget your commandments. And I feel like I'm feeling around in a dark room right now. Come find me. You remember when we looked at prayers of confession? We were saying that this is a prayer that says, Lord, you're right. I messed up. I blew it. You are right. I have sinned against you. Stay near to help me. And the Lord says, every every time, which is why we come to this portion of our service every week and we preach the gospel by remembering with elements, bread and juice, to remember that Jesus gave his body on the cross. Why? Well, because if he didn't, you'd have to, I'd have to. And he shed his blood on the cross. Why? Because otherwise, you'd have to, or I'd have to. And Jesus did it for us, so that we can obey freely when we come to him in faith. Let's remember that as we take communion, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Listen, friends, if you're not a follower of Jesus, this is really a time for you to pull back and say, Lord, or God, I don't know what I think about you. I'm not sure what all this Jesus talk is. I know religion. I know rules. It's talking about rules a lot today. Help me understand what it means to be free from the law and yet seeking to follow the law. To recognize that Jesus followed the law perfectly every time in thought and in deed, so that you would have the opportunity to come to him and turn away from your own sins. Every time you like shoot an arrow and you miss the mark, the Bible calls it sin and says, come to me. Anyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord, believes in their heart, and confesses with their mouth, he'll be saved. She'll be saved. You can come to Christ today. But in the meantime, let the elements pass and ask the Lord to speak to your heart and give you understanding, because he wants to give you understanding too. For everyone who seeks him, we'll find understanding. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, there's so much here for us and so, so much more. I pray that you would help us learn that when we seek you in your word, our hearts are set free so that we can run in the wisdom of your word. We don't have to worry about when we fail again. We know we will, but we don't strive for it. But we know that you're faithful every time. Thank you that we can meet together, encourage each other as a body, and grow in your word, remembering all that you've done for us on Calvary. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.